to welcome everyone here tonight and those that are supporting us on the website, those that are listening. I really want to address the nations today because, you know, I just feel that this is a now word from God. And I don't know really how to put it yet, but I guess what I'm trying to say is that God doesn't
desires no divisions among us.
Right. Doesn't desire any divisions among us. And, you know, we have many, many different beliefs and denominations and religions out there in the world. And I know we have listeners from Singapore. We have listeners from South Africa, Malaysia, Indonesia, India. We have them from Germany, China. France, you know, all over the world. And they all have different types of religions. But we all serve one God. I had a chance of speaking to this gentleman who is a Sikh, and I asked him who was his God. And he didn't know. He didn't even know. He didn't know. And what the issues are is I believe that we are coming to a new age. And God is calling us leaders to bring in a revival, not to the end of the age harvest, but a harvest to the new age that's coming in.
The beginning.
The beginning of a new age. And it's the millenniums, we want to call them. And it may even be those who are open to know God. And we were divinely inspired, touched in a special way. My testimony is very unique. Minding my own business, I was happy where I was. And then next thing you know, God shows up at my back door and changes my life. Same with Pastor Sam and Pastor Tim. We were all chosen by, I would say, the divine. And it was for this time. And I heard from, a person whose life was changed when our lives were changed about 17 years ago. And I really admired this individual. He calls himself a prophet, but I don't think right now, I think there's no growth in him and he's tainted, but that's another story. I believe when this realm of glory was being poured out, there was many people that were touched in a special way. And I believe that there are a lot out there. And I hope that they're listening or catching on so that maybe they can reach out and connect with us so that we can maybe network with them. But one of the things that he mentioned was that there is new wine coming, and this new wine needs to be put into new wineskins. And he wasn't sure about the interpretation of it. And I know the interpretation of this. Yeah, I know what it is. It is, we have to take the old, and that's the old wine, and we got to take it out and put it in new wineskins, and that new wineskin is us being able to receive the new revelation that is given. Yep. And the new revelation is no longer is it about the prophets.
No.
It's no longer about the prophets. And what I'm talking about the prophets is the prophets are the ones that brought division in the midst of the truth, which is God. You know, seekers and having relationships with God, the true living God, the God of creation, the God of our universe, the one single only God, the God of faith. If you look at it, all the religions out there are in faith because they can't see God. So, of course, they have to believe God. So they have faith. So it is the God of faith. You have to believe. You have to believe in something that you can't see. So they're all united with that truth right there. They just don't know God. We're here to bring them and explain to them God, and they should start to seek God for themselves too, because God is truth and you have to understand truth. The Holy Bible is a great book. It's the only book that I have experienced that holds true to the truth. I would say, if people are still out there preaching and teaching about the Old Testament, I'm going to tell them to move on. I'm getting bold here, but it's time to move on. All the truth is in the New Testament of this book, Okay? And this is what I believe is the new wine in the new wineskin. And the new wineskin is those individuals that are receiving the new wine. And the new wine is the revelation of this truth. You know how many people out there are afraid of casting down their prophets and saying, you know what, it's no longer worshiping the prophets, but it's time to worship God?
Correct.
Yeah. I feel really bad because, you know, my experience had a lot to do with this revelation, this truth, because, you know, I met Jesus, and a lot of you know the testimony, some may not, and the last words that I heard in an audible voice was, go back and tell them about my Father. It's like, it's not about me anymore. And they are worshiping the prophets.
Well, you know, not only that, Pastor, let me just interject.
Sure, sure.
It's the laws. The round table. The prophets, the leaders, they brought in these laws, the religious laws, that are basically driving people away from God rather than leading them to God.
Through works.
It's a constant, they're trying to do all these types of ceremonies and traditions and prayers and all this different stuff that's going on out there, but they're not closer to God at any point. It's just driving them away, and they're confused. Like that guy that you spoke to, that guy today, was a Muslim sect, and he doesn't even know how to tell you about God.
No, he
doesn't know God.
He knew his traditions. His laws.
Right.
He knew the works of it, which has nothing to do with the relationship of God.
Nothing.
It has nothing,
it has
to, do
nothing
with God.
To do with it.
There is a tone that is ringing in my spirit right now, and I feel that God is saying to us through that scripture verse in the book, the Holy Bible, which speaks about those individuals who left this life and they did works and service in the prophet's name.
Right.
And they went and saw, after they left this earth, they stood before judgment. And they cried out, but Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. And they repeated they listed some of the works that they did. And God says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And they're coming back saying, but Lord, Lord, wait, we did all these things in your name. I hope we have some listeners out there that are listening to this and actually starting to change the way they're thinking. It is so important at this point in time right now that I believe that there was a point where God had mercy and grace on individuals based on the knowledge that has been released within the age. But it's now that knowledge is ever increasing, revelation is ever increasing, it's up to us to conform to that revelation and come into the knowledge as the new wine into the new wineskins so that we can take form and actually live out the new wine that is being poured out. We can't, there is a new generation that is seeking God so wholeheartedly, but they're hearing the old-time religion and the traditions and everything that is laid out. It's turning them off to have a relationship with God.
It's true.
Because they put so many laws and do's and don'ts and rights and wrongs. And they're like, you know what? I don't want to really know God right now because I don't want to change. I really like being who I am. Well, I have a message for those out there that are saying that in their heart. It's okay. God loves you just the way you are, and he doesn't want you to put on the white collar and the cloak of righteousness and pretend that you're something that you're not inside your heart. He's looking for someone who will just yield to him and want to stretch their ear out and hear his voice and begin a relationship. That's what God is desiring for right now. Yeah. He wants relationship with those out there, and he's not concerned about do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs. He's not concerned about the laws. He's not concerned about go out there and feed the poor when you don't want to. You know, he wants your heart. And this is very important in this hour, I truly believe. Because God says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, I'm digging deep into what is it to be a worker of iniquity. Sam, you looked it up in the Hebrew or the Greek. What was it in the Greek? Can you look it up real quick while we're chatting?
Hey, Pastor Jim, you know, one thing we've been talking about repentance constantly in here, because I believe this is the hour where God's saying repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God's at hand. And we're
and that word repentance, because I have to make our listeners understand, because repentance, years for so long.
It's not I'm sorry.
Right, they always thought it was I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
Forgive me, man, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and repentance has nothing to do with saying I'm sorry. Right. It has everything to do with changing the way you're thinking.
Yeah.
You know, what was done is gone and forgotten. It's like, let's move on and just change the way you're thinking, so your thought pattern doesn't allow you to keep doing what you're doing.
You know, and it's like this too. It's like God's saying, just change the way you're thinking. Stop trying to work your way into heaven, work your way into relationship with me. Just repent, change the way you're thinking, and open up your heart and receive what's being told and said right now, and receive God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, receive that His love right now is manifesting before you, and it's His commandments that are on your heart.
Yeah.
You know, because God is in you. He wants to build a tabernacle with man inside your heart.
Well, you have a testimony coming Sunday.
On Sunday, yeah.
So you have to log on to hear Tim's testimony. Yeah. But it's a relationship that God has with Tim. And he heard his voice through that still small voice, and he obeyed the voice. And now all heaven is just saying, well done, my faithful servant. Well done, you see? Yeah. And this is what God is looking for. He's looking for those that will diligently seek him. And if you seek him, you will find him. But it's that small voice on our heart. We don't have to, you know, be converted into, you know, like the whole world trying to convert us over to one organization or religion, and then the whole world converting someone. You know, it's not a war of conversion.
Right, right. Like in the old days, you know.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a war of casting down the laws and the prophets of all these religions. Yeah.
Correct.
So that we can lift up God and lift up his name and let those that are really truly trying to find righteousness and holiness in our Creator, our Heavenly Father, so that we can come to that place of glory when we leave this earth. And it's not about works where it's like, but Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name. And he says, get away from me, because it's not about works. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. It's about relationship.
It's like saying, hey, I never told you to do that.
Yeah,
it's your heart was telling you to do something totally different. You're following this other law that's saying, oh, you
exactly
must do this. And all of a sudden, you're just doing it in vain.
Exactly right. The law, let's say, go out and feed the poor, because you have to be a good guy.
Right.
Okay? So you go out there, and you're out there passing the food out to the poor, and you're giving them, but your heart's going, I don't even want to be here. I got all these things to do. You really think I'm
mustard? I'm gonna read the definition of iniquity.
You're better off not going. You're better off not being.
I think that's what he meant, was it's better off not to know me than to know me and be lukewarm.
Right. The definition of iniquity is lawlessness, the utter disregard for God's law. You know.
Now, that God's law, though, we all know in a mature way, okay? Yeah. Because I look at a lot of immaturity in religion.
Yeah.
They take law as what man wrote, the do's and don'ts and rights. We know in the maturity, where's the law, Sam?
Well, the law's written on your heart, but listen to
that's
this.
Right.
We have to understand this. There's one God, just one, and it's the God of love. And, you know, all the prophets, the prophet worship. The prophet worship just causes division, and they want to separate you, and they want to fight, and they want to cause that division. Even in the United States, we're talking about it today. We're talking about the preachers and pastors of the Christian church in the United States, how they divide and separate, because it's all about finances here. We talked about how it actually becomes almost like Amway.
It's a business.
what they do, these pastors and preachers become filthy rich, and they profit on the church payer's dime. And they say to you, if you keep giving, God will bless you like me. And they use themselves as an example, and they have five jets, they have 25,000 square foot homes, and they dangle that carrot in front of their face and say, you give all your money and you'll be just like me. And that's how they get you. And the Church of the United States is just as bad as every other church out there, and the prophet worship is a division in every country. So, you know, there's one God, it's the God of love, and if your God isn't the God of love, then I don't know what you're worshiping. But Tim was right when he said lawlessness. That's iniquity, lawlessness and not following God's law, which is written on your heart.
Amen.
And so we want to bring this truth. And, you know, my concern is really not to reach the older generation, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Because I don't even think that it's possible. Look, I love them. Okay, I'm not going to deny not loving them in any way, shape, or form. It's almost like, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, if you're brought up with such a habit,
it's very hard.
And I even say this to those prophets and apostles out there that are operating in ministry, that I understand how hard and difficult it is for you guys to come into the new wineskin and to receive the new wine. I understand how hard it's going to be for you to change your doctrinal thinking, repent, and then to receive the revelation in this hour. But at the same time, I want to say, are you going to be those that are going to stand up there and say, but Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name, and then turn around and God says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you.
Correct.
That's on you, all right? I'm not going to talk to you anymore. But I want to talk to the new generation. I want you to know that the way you're feeling and the taste in your mouth is sour because of the fact that God is telling you, you need to go in this direction. Don't be afraid of your generation or your father's or, you know, forefathers' traditions and them renouncing you from any type of inheritance because you've changed, you know, your way of worship. You know, you have to learn to go with what God is saying in this hour, and he's changing the revelational knowledge.
Correct.
And it's not about the prophets in religion. It's not.
No.
You know how many people, and listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I honor and respect the prophets. I'm not going to deny them. Yep. They're going to be our brethrens. They're our brethrens in heavenly places. I've been there. I've been able to see them and know them in an aspect of revelation. And, you know,
they have honor there. But
yeah, there's honor.
They're not being worshipped, though.
Exactly right. There's a level of honor, and then there's a level of worship.
Yeah.
God wants us to seek him and worship him only.
Amen.
You know, for those that have read this book, the Holy Bible, there's a lot of conflict in the sense of, you know, speaking of Jesus. Let's use Jesus since we're in the Catholic realm. And, you know, and I know there's a lot of Christians out there that are listening to us. And Jesus is one of the prophets. And they won't say that he is a son of God. And yes, he is a son of God. And we are too.
He's the firstborn of many brethren.
He was the firstborn of many brethren. We are sons of God. If you receive God as your heavenly Father, you are a son or a daughter of the living God.
Right.
Think about it. If you're receiving God as a father, a spiritual father, then you are a spiritual son or a spiritual daughter. Can you see any other way? I don't know. You know, you're seeking him.
Yeah.
You accepted him. You have been adopted by him, because our father in this world without knowing God is who?
Oh, the father of lies, right?
That's right. The father of lies, which is father of darkness, which is father of Satan.
Or Satan,
dark,
Lucifer,
or devil, Lucifer, whatever. Yeah. You can, it's all a play of words, but, you know, it's... and that's, you know, your father who
because you don't know our Heavenly Father. So you're in darkness before you come into light.
Right.
And the dark father is Lucifer, Satan, evil one, you know. And the father of light is love, God, the universe, you know. I find it really interesting because there's many people out there that are longing to have a relationship with the higher power, and you have all these different names for them. God, higher power, the universe, nature. Come on, let's all be real. People out there that are listening around the world, let's just call him God for now.
Can I just
Father of Light. I like that one. How many people in here like Father of Light? That's a good one.
You know, we have an old saying, you know, when you want to seek God and know God, a lot of people take the Holy Bible, they take, if they're in other religions, they probably have other material that they read, they study. Put this down. If you really want to get to know God, just put it aside for a while and get to know God within your heart. Let's try to listen to his voice and those commandments that are written on your heart and those unctions and inspirations. Get to know that first. Then pick this up.
It's so funny.
This is more for mature people. It really is.
To back his point, you know, Pastor says this all the time, and this is one of the favorite phrases that he says. He says, no one wants to admit that they're wrong.
Yep.
But you know, one of the people in the Bible, Paul, said this. He said, I count everything I ever learned as dung, that I might gain him the more. And I die daily. And, you know, I must decrease so he can increase. You know, it's about laying everything you ever learned down and finding God, finding that God of love. And if you don't count everything you ever learned in the past as nothing to help you today and look forward and look for that new revelation, that new drink, that new water, then you're drinking old manna and it's old wine and old wineskins. And it's never gonna find you. You're never gonna find it.
Well, this is the hardest thing that I see with those that are out there, to accept the fact that, you know, it's time to change.
That's right.
But I've been praying this, you know, all my life in Jesus' name, you know, and all that.
Yep.
You know, in the beginning, you know, Jesus was trying to teach his apostles and his disciples how to minister and how to walk in an authority.
Yep.
And to know who they were, that they were sons of God, that they were children of God. And to find that authority and know who they were so that they can subdue the darkness in the world.
He even said, how much longer do I have to be with you? Where is your faith? How much longer do I have to be with you?
So the way Jesus was trying to teach the disciples was he was saying, look, go and do this, cast out devils, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, you know, all these things, and pray. And pray to the Father in my name. Take my authority and go do these things so that you have confidence
Amen.
In doing this.
Yep.
So I want you to go and do it in my name, okay? Just to get them feeling good about it.
It's like priming the pump to believe.
Exactly right. So they went out and they were like, okay, I'm going to go cast out devils. And they were like, devil, come out in Jesus' name. And the devils would come out and they would be coming back to Jesus and saying, oh, my God, Jesus, it works.
Yeah.
You know, we did this and we casted them out. But the reality was they had the authority to cast them out.
Yeah. Yes, because after Jesus was dead, even Peter's shadow healed
the sick. Well, I was getting to that. As the apostles or the disciples grew in maturity, they started realizing the glory.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They started realizing, you know, the relationship that they had with the Father, and they began to receive Christ.
Right.
See, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the man. Christ is the divine nature of God, the Holy Spirit, or the sonship of God living inside of everyone.
That's right.
So all of you have the sonship or the daughtership of God, which is called Christ.
Yep.
Okay, that's why Jesus was called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because he tapped into the divine relationship of our Heavenly Father. I think it's important for our listeners to understand all this so that they can clearly receive this truth, this manna, I want to call it, you know? And so as the disciples grew and they began to start seeing the miracle signs and wonders that God was doing through him, through them too, if you look up Acts, chapter 2, I think.
Two. Okay. Jesus a man.
Yeah, and see what Peter said. And we're going to read this to the to our listeners because they need to understand what Peter said in Scripture. See, this is in Jim's word. This is actually pulled from Scripture, from the Bible. And so I just want to bear witness with everybody out there. As they matured and grew, and they were beginning to minister without Jesus, Jesus, you know, left the world. He died and was resurrected, showed everyone the glorified body, and then went back into the heavenlies and said, okay, guys, you're on your own.
Well, he even said, look, I must go so that the comfort of the Holy Spirit will come and teach you all things, teach you how to mature in confidence and faith so that you can't be relying on me anymore.
Exactly right. He also said, greater things than I do, you're going to do.
Exactly right. Now we've been hidden in a cave, literally,
or a barn or
for 20 years. My life has been changed 20 years ago.
Right.
And I know that there are others by the same glory who has been changed in that area or that era, 20, 19, 18, 17 years, 17, 8, 16 years ago. I think the glory left after 16 years and raised up those ministers that needed to be raised up in this hour. And I'm saying that in case we have one of those listeners listening, okay? So with all that being said, the apostles matured.
Yes.
And they moved on. And Sam, what's that scripture? You know it by heart. They moved on. Because let's move on to the basic principle. We'll keep this one here.
I'll read that next.
All right, we'll read that one next.
That's a good one.
So it's time for us to move on.
Hebrews 6.
And begin to lay the prophets down and stop relying on the authority or the name of the prophets and begin to receive the relationship that you have with the Heavenly Father. And build your spiritual relationship so that heaven knows who you are and that the name written above all names will be written along with you. You see?
Yeah.
And they will know you in heaven. See, I have confidence in my heart. And I'm sure you, Pastor Tim, you do, and Pastor Sam, you do. Yep. That we have confidence in our heart that heaven knows who we are. You see what I'm saying? I am not ashamed of the gospel, and I know that darkness trembles around me.
Yep.
I've had it happen many times. Yep. I watched them manifest. I watch them, like, literally.
Shudder.
Everything. Scream, yell, and the whole nine yards at me. It's like, yo, here it is.
Yep.
But I'm sure the apostles, the disciples who were called to be apostles, are now apostles. They began to see the signs and wonders. They began to see it to the point where aprons from Paul started healing the sick.
Yep.
The shadows of Peter started healing the sick. You see, demons, darkness, began to tremble and flee in the presence within themselves.
That's right, yeah.
I think this is where we need to be, people.
You know, even Jesus said, he said, the words I speak are not my own, not mine, but my Father who sent me. Every word I speak is from my Father. Everything I say, everything I do is from my Father. Nothing I speak is from me. And he gave all the glory to God. It was nothing he said.
And the Father was in him. And it's in us. It's in every single person if you can tap into him. He says, become one as we are one.
Go ahead and read that scripture.
In Acts 2:22, it says.
In Acts 2:22,
says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words: Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, by miracles, signs, and wonders, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know."
Okay, so let's break this down. Yeah. Here's they're saying right there in Scripture. Why did people miss that one?
They miss it.
They miss it. They pull all the other stuff. Because I'm going to tell you why. I truly believe that there are children of glory out there that have been touched by God who understand this revelation, but is being mentored, okay, by old traditions, and they're saying to them, you can't divert from Jesus. You can't divert from the prophets. Right. If you do, we'll shun you.
Yeah. He,
and then they're losing their job. They're
that's
losing,
right.
They're losing their positions.
There's
in,
a risk.
In and ministry.
They're, and they're yep. losing money.
They're losing money.
Here's
well, guess what? Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I hope that puts a little fear inside of you so that this way maybe you might make a decision to follow your heart.
Here's a scripture that backs all this up. Ready for this? And they don't read this one often. It says, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting we will do so. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity.
That's right. And I believe this is the word in the hour.
Yep.
God is looking for us to begin to start walking into the maturity. And I'm going to tell you right now, we are talking about a series of prayer right now and what it is to pray. And people need to understand how to pray. And I began to break down the Our Father because Jesus, you know, one of the prophets was showing the disciples how to pray. And he took the Our Father and used it as an example to pray. And, you know, these are people out there that are saying the Our Fathers as a prayer to yep. our Heavenly Father.
Yep.
How immature could that possibly be? There is mysteries inside of here, and they have to begin to read deep into the mysteries of what they're trying to say. He spoke in parables.
Correct.
So the parable of the Our Father is you first have a heart of glorifying God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You have a heart to glorify God. Then it says, give us this day our daily bread.
Revelation.
Hearing his voice.
Yeah. Yep.
That still small voice on the heart. You see?
Yep.
And then it says, forgive me, Father, for my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. It says in the scriptures, our Heavenly Father won't forgive us unless we forgive those. Yep. So obviously, Jesus was saying, listen, forgive.
Yep.
Forgive others so that our Heavenly Father can forgive you. So it's an attitude of a heart. You have to first glorify God. Second, look for the heavenly word written on your heart. You know, that still small voice. Thirdly, to forgive yep. so that our Heavenly Father can forgive us. Let me finish
this. Wait, just stop right there
okay.
for a second. All of what you said just now
uh-huh.
is brokenness. Because it's not about you. You're about glorifying God. You're about humbling yourself.
Right. Forgiving unconditionally.
Forgiveness for people.
But,
for you can be forgiven.
And then yep. looking for that
yep.
Still small voice on your heart,
still small
which we call conviction or unction,
yep.
which is like the anointing.
Yep.
Okay, and
yep.
then comes to that place, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. That's where the real humility comes from.
Right.
So we're all subject to fall from glory to glory.
Sure.
We're all subject
sure.
to fall to sin, so to
yep.
say. So it's that broken, humble place in your heart to say, don't lead me into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one.
Right.
I look at it in my life right now at this point, the temptation and the evil one is what takes me out of love, what takes me out of trusting God with all my heart, soul, and mind. I think it's fear. I think it's worry, but, you know, that's what I believe, you know, the temptation is.
Yep.
There's something that God is showing me about temptation and how, and I'm going to speak on this on Sunday, because I believe once we have that heart cry, deliver us from the evil one, we begin to get God back the glory. For thine is the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So we end up giving that glory back.
Yep.
But as we walk in this prayer, because the Bible says pray without ceasing, and I already spoke about this message before, and how hard it is to pray without ceasing. And it's like, it's almost impossible. So if we take this conduct of walking in prayer, this is a beautiful thing, because what happened was Jesus, the prophet, was led into the desert, tempted by the devil.
Correct.
Okay. When he received all that, I'm sure he was walking in prayer. He said, Father, deliver me from the evil one. Okay. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one.
Yep.
Okay. For 40 days, he was tempted. God delivered him. What happened? Angels came and ministered to him and endured him with power. I want everyone to tune in on Sunday if you can. Yep. Get here, because I'm going to talk to the church. I want to talk to those that are listening out there, because, you know, people have to understand we have to cast down the prophets in religion and begin to develop this relationship with God. We have the power in us. At the same time, God's not going to release his glory, his power, until we are conformed in prayer.
Correct. Amen.
You see? Amen. We have to walk in prayer and be conformed in prayer. Then he'll send his angels to minister to us, and then he will endure us with power. That's when heaven knows who you are. That's when you can go out and heal the sick. You don't have to use the authority of, you know, the prophets or Jesus' name, you know. The shadows of Peter healed the sick. The aprons of Paul, the aprons of here healed the sick. How many testimonies do we have over these cloths?
Many.
Because many. God has ordained us, and he commissioned those ministering spirits to go out and heal, cleanse, set free, break yokes, hold back darkness from things that are holding, you know, your blessings behind or whatever. And they go before us. I mean, how much more?
One of the commandments that God gave everyone was cast down every thought, every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And where is the knowledge
of
God?
That's a good point.
It's right here in your heart. It's that voice. Because there's so many voices up here in our head that are exalting itself over what we know here. You know, and that's where I believe we fall. Because we start listening to this, and we start to fear, we start to worry, anxiety comes in.
Well, you also
start worshiping it because you think that's true.
Here's another thing that I find: rejection.
Yeah.
And you know how many people out there are afraid to be rejected? And when you begin to start following your heart or following the truth, and you understand that, oh my God, I this sour taste in my mouth about, you know, worshiping the prophets or worshiping the saints or worshiping, you know, this or other than the Father in heaven, you know, if I stop doing this, I'll be looked at as a fool or looked at as someone speaking falsely, or I'll be shunned.
I'll be
rejected. I'll be outcasted or whatever. Yeah. You know, there's a big fear in...
Or they might have been rejected already. They might have tried to bring it out and said, listen, this isn't right, and they got it thrown out.
Maybe.
It could be sitting out there going, I'm on my own. You're not on your own.
Or went back and submitted.
Correct.
I'm going to share something. Yeah. And some of you know this already. We had already opportunities to take our ministry and explode it.
Yep.
Literally come and finance everything.
By huge ministries.
Huge ministries. Yep. I could say three of them right off the bat that are on television.
Yep.
And they wanted this ministry.
Yep.
They wanted us. They wanted the fire that's burning. But we had to submit to their doctrine.
Right. Yep.
I said no.
Old time religion.
You know what I saw? The vision? Jesus on the temptation plate.
Yep.
Over here, and Satan over here on the top saying, I'll give you all this.
If you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all this.
Yep. And through my conviction.
Yep.
And we, you know, we just said no.
And we stood.
We could have accepted it, and we would not be in this position.
Thou shalt not tempt the Lord.
Probably
your
be
God.
Driving around in our own jet. Flying around in our own personal jet
right
now.
Bling bling.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. We're live, John, so I'm going to let everyone know that I'm talking to John Stanchek in our audience. We don't.
We don't.
You're not supposed to know.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
That's right.
What I'm trying to say is that people do that for a motive because they want to get bigger, they want to touch more people. They say that, but it's really about glorifying themselves.
Correct.
But what I'm trying to say is you have touched more people.
Amen.
In more profound ways than they have.
Amen. I received that. And you know, John, looking at our numbers on the website, seeing how many people are listening out there around the world, we've brought the ministry in their homes. You know, and that's why I want to thank, a special thanks to Jim Franklin up there who is keeping this website going and the message out there going on the, through the website, and those that are handling our website, because I feel exactly what you're saying. And there are many, many people out there that maybe are just working so much that they just can't get to a church or what have you. I want to encourage...
I'd add to that, too, by saying, how about the apostles of this ministry that are going out and speaking the word?
Amen. Like and, yourself.
And there's no way to track that number over the internet. There's no way to track that number in money given, but you touch their lives.
Amen.
This ministry touched their life.
You know,
because of the apostles of this ministry. And it's all of us. We're all apostles.
I agree. I agree 100%. You know, and we have done something last week where we, our desire is really to raise up more who are willing to literally not be ashamed of the gospel, I want to say, and submit themselves to this truth, you know, and understand the relationship. We understand, you know, before really to send somebody out there to minister the truth, they need a good foundation. They need a good foundation. They have to be proven and tested. I mean, I've seen people that sat under the ministry that just are not ready, who have been sitting under it maybe 17 years. But then yet there are some who have come in who are ready, like yourself. I mean, you've grabbed hold of this ministry, and you grabbed hold of the truth, and it witnessed to the spirit that's already in you. It wasn't like we had to renew and rewire you. I mean, you just, bah! It was packed. That's right. And you are one that is worthy and trusted because you understand, you see? And that's the main key that we're trying to make out there. I am not ashamed to raise individuals up and appoint them, but at the same time, they have to be ready.
You know they have to be ready. We need to let the people know that are listening out there that don't know us. We have such a reverence, honor of God to be in His will. And to make sure that we're following Him with every step that we take, rather than giving in to the lust of the world and the lust of the everything that's pushed our way. And, you know, we could have taken all that.
We could have had a 500 people ministry. Could have been on television right now. Could have been having our own private jet.
But our conviction was saying no. God was in us, was saying no. He's like, I got more. I got better, because we wanted to be in His will, and we wanted to have His presence and His glory inhabit us.
You know, I think that it was the conviction on our hearts to not taint the truth.
Because we've seen the lie out there.
Yeah. And the hypocrisy.
We've all seen it. We were sick and tired of it, and we just wanted to glorify God. When I first met Pastor, he said, just stop everything. Just worship God with me. It's all I'm looking for, people to worship God. It's all I want. I'm not going to read the scripture. I just want to worship God for 3 or 4 hours a night. We were in here 3 or 4 hours a night, every night worshiping
on
God.
Our faces.
And we were transformed. You know, the scripture says.
We'll keep elaborating on that, because there were times when, and it's so true, when I met these guys, I just was out of the cloud. And I said, put this thing down. Put the Bible down. Don't read it. Worship God, and Him only we will worship. And we came into this barn, and we worshiped all hours of the night.
We were transformed.
And there was a glory cloud that would rest in this place.
Every night.
And it's still here.
Every night.
It is here.
It's still here.
We're still hungry, but we were very hungry because we wanted just to know Him.
We
and
soaked.
Be in His
and
will.
Soaked,
you know?
And soaked and worshiped and soaked. To the point where we would put on worship songs, and there was a point where we were so high in the presence of Him.
We'd dance around here.
And, yeah, we lost ourselves. We were like David.
We were out cold on the floor.
Knocked out under the power of God. And there was a time where I said to Sam, turn that CD up. And he walked over there, and the CD was like this door that had to like open up and shut when the CD went up and played. Man. The door opened up, and the CD shot out.
Popped out like 20 feet.
Yeah. The glory and the presence was just so intense.
Shot across the floor.
And just shot out. And we were like, oh! And then I think after that's when we started hearing the sound of heaven.
Yeah. We started hearing angels singing.
Yeah, and instruments and music, and it was like, oh my
God! And then we had feathers poofing all over the place.
Yeah,
like
we just, woke up. It was just a glory.
It's soaking,
that was,
and there was feathers all over.
We had
over
all kinds
us.
Of crazy
just,
things.
Just the glory of heaven awesome. Was just manifesting.
Is that what the disciples did?
Yeah.
They
would sit in a room.
Yep.
At the time of Pentecost.
All night.
Yep.
The technology wasn't up there yet.
Out of the tour, whatever you want to
call it. We've traveled around the world. We went to India, South Africa,
Malaysia,
and all that. Yep. We went to Norway, and Norway is probably one of the times where I can actually say and show the glory. I think the CD
it's
or the
there.
Tape is still.
It's on.
It
is. Yeah,
it's still on the website.
It is, no.
Well, it's a CD. We might have to dig it back up. But there was a glory that came in, the Shekinah glory that is known. And this is God. And the whole entire facility was loaded with the glory of God. And the eyes, the natural eyes, weren't able to see it.
It looked like snow. It looked like snow.
Snow glory.
You couldn't see 2 feet in front of your hands.
Let me finish what's happening here, because I want our listeners to hear what was going on. And I want them to understand that there is a time when you can see the glory and when you can't see the glory. I'm going to tell you right now, the glory is here.
It is.
And what happened was they were filming the service. Okay? They were filming the service. And I'm like, do you see the glory? Oh my God. And then healings were just happening and everything else. And, you know, they were like trying to find it and they couldn't see it. And they ended up recording the service. And then later, they watched the film. When they watched the film, they were able to see all the glory that was just in the atmosphere. And it was like clouds and sparkles of lights and
feathers,
and all kinds of manifestations of the heavenlies were just falling all over the place. And it was so incredible because the film captured the glory of
God.
And
we have that.
And
film.
We have it on film.
Yep.
And so we're going to have to try to get that, you know, re-listed up there so that our viewers can see it. But where we're heading and what we're trying to say, and I know that there are hungry people out there that really, really, you know, desire to know God. And there are some people out there that maybe have not known God.
Right.
And this is why I'm saying it's very important to start listening to this ministry, because I'm speaking about prayer. And those who are just coming to know God, I'm going to tell you right now, heaven is opened up and the ear of God is hearing you right now. It's the ones who have been in religion or sought God, and then their hearts have grown cold, so to say, and God's ears have closed. I want to bring them back.
Yep.
I want to bring them back to so that their prayers are being heard. You see what I'm saying?
That's what the backsliding is.
Yes.
You know, when the religious people talk about backsliding, it's not the other crap that they talk about. It's this.
Well,
it's where the love grows cold.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, God says it's better not to know me than to know me and be
lukewarm.
Well, this is what he was saying. He goes around looking for the broken, contrite hearts. And when he finds them, they don't know God one iota.
Yep.
You see?
Yep.
But there's an open heaven on those individuals that get me so excited. It's like, you don't know God and you're broken? Get over here! Because he's got an ear and he's listening to you right now. You get on your knees, you begin to cry out what you want to see done. You want to hear, you have an open heaven, go for it.
Yep.
You see? Because he's listening right now.
Yep.
The ones who've known him and hearts have grown cold, they have to be rewired. They have to be broken. They have to understand brokenness. They need to understand prayer. They need to get the fire back in them, and they need to come to a place of repentance and change.
Amen.
And then you have those who God says, I give them over to a debased mind. They're the ones that I'm really, my heart is bleeding for. Because I know that they have a heart, you know, but because they're so trapped in the doctrines that they were brought up, and they don't want to admit that things have changed, and they don't really want to change.
Right.
They don't want to say that maybe it's time to move on.
They don't know how to move on. They're stuck.
Not that they're too proud
to
move on.
Yeah.
What is my friends going to say? Because maybe some of them didn't get the revelation. Maybe some of them, God didn't allow their eyes to be opened yet. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they're saying to themselves, I might lose Johnny or Mary as my prayer partners here. I might lose my church friends. I might lose this and I might lose that crowd. And I might get shunned or rejected. I'm going to tell you right now. Would you rather get rejected by them or hear those words, but Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. And he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you.
I think you're kind of naked when that happens because it's the evil one that causes confusion. And when they're confused, they don't know which way to turn.
Correct.
We know so many people like this. All of us know people that they are so confused. Talk to them until you're blue in the face.
I don't think they've ever heard this truth. I think they're sitting out there and they're sitting out there and they're blind.
I've heard this truth. Been here.
Yep.
Yeah.
We saw one the other day. Matter of fact, Pastor Kirk has a relationship with an individual, and he said to himself, he said, oh, my God, this guy, like, has turned to grouchy, mean. You know, he's being rotten inside.
Seven times worse.
Yep. Seven times worse.
Yeah.
And it's a shame. Yeah. But you know what? What the world got to them, you know? He couldn't stand up to a certain one in his life and was dictated and was pulled away, and he knew what the right thing was. And, you know, hey, what can I say?
It says,
unless
you deny father, mother, sister, brother, children for my sake, you're not worthy of the gospel. You're not worthy of this truth. And if you don't want to deny it. You can't have it.
And I mean everything.
You're right.
If you're not afraid to lose it, it's not going to happen.
Nope.
And that's what happens to those people. They hold on to something, someone.
Yep.
They don't want to lose what they have.
That's right.
They're not ready to let it go.
That's a very good point, John.
And it's like what Jesus says, if you want a life, be prepared to lose it.
That's right. Yep. If you love your life, you'll lose it.
Yeah.
Love your life, you'll lose it.
Lay it down for my sake. You'll find it.
Matter of fact, next Wednesday, hopefully, Lord willing, we'll have one of our, you know, leadership apostles come join us on this round table.
I have so much to say, but I'm going to be asked out next week.
Yo, when's the next time you coming back?
I'll be back in town 2 weeks.
Okay, within 2 weeks, we're going to have John. Stay tuned. Please, everybody out there, we would love to invite John on our table so that he can interact with our listeners out there. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We ran out of time. All right. God bless. Yeah. All right. Hey, Jim, I hope you